The question was asked, we begin with a concept that Hashem is whole and perfect. And then we come to the concept that there are mitzvot. So then why? So in truth, this question goes back to more elementary questions, which is, Hashem is perfect, so why create a world? Which is, Hashem is perfect, so why give man free will? So when you approach it philosophically, let's take the question back to the root. We don't understand this concept of us having free will. I can do something against Hashem's will, and he gave me the capacity to do that. Now, wait a second. He is whole. So, A, why did he create me? Why did he create a world? And B, what's the idea of giving me free will? So, at the root, we have a question which, to some degree, is insurmountable. As we've discussed numerous times, we can develop a perspective. That doesn't mean we can master the answer. Perspective is an attitude I will work with in life. The core of the answer is going to be difficult and questionable whether we can get to it. So question number one, Hashem is whole, Hashem is perfect, yet Hashem created a world. That's a question that Maimonides says is something that when you get to the most advanced levels, you can work on it. Maimonides says he wants to write a whole book just on this question. It's a broad question philosophically. So we said, what we've discussed is that working philosophically back to the question of there being a creator, our first definition of the creator, our most basic definition, without Torah, without creating a world, without Yetzias Mitzrayim, our most basic definition is there is something that does not need to be created. In other words, there is something that does not work within my realm of logic. I do not know of any creature in this world that was not created. The concept that there is a creator that was not created is something we don't understand. We look at it and say, what does that mean? So that, right, that question mark, that's your first definition of God. When you work and you say, wait a second, man comes from the frog. Okay, and where'd that come from? The dolphin, okay, and where'd that come from? And at some point you say, okay, where? And at some point you say, okay, I have a big question mark. I don't have an answer. So there's something here that I don't understand. So we do not worship lack of understanding. On the contrary, we're constantly trying to understand. But what we've defined in our terms is that there is a being that does not work in our terms. I don't understand them. I don't understand how there is a being that was never created. That's my first definition of God. Now, that definition is interconnected with the next step, that he created a world and created man, which I also don't understand. Just like I don't understand his being, I can have perspective. The Torah tells me perspective, you know, there's an old joke. Is this world the heaven of another world or the hell of another world? And your attitude can really change how you look at the world. Of course I'm suffering. So believe it or not, Ramchal said, there must be an afterlife because this world is so bad, there's got to be more to it than this. Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Litzanto, said, you got to believe in an afterlife because this can't be the end all. This just isn't good enough. That's Rav Moshe Chaim Litzanto. Not what you'd expect, right? But at any rate, coming back to this, so when we ask that question, we are taught by the Torah, we are taught by our sages, we are taught attitudes. We are taught perspective. God created a world. He wanted to do good to mankind. God created a world. He gave mankind potential to do good in the world. God created a world. He gave mankind potential to reach wholeness. God created a world. He gave mankind potential to be holy and God-like. As we read in the book of Genesis, V'yitem ke'elokim, you will become God-like. You have potential to make change in the world. You have potential to affect the world in both directions. And even in the Garden of Eden, there was a Yetzer Hara. There was evil inclination. There was a serpent. There wasn't just a, you know, there was temptation. So, if you ask the question, wait a second, so then why did God create the world? I can say we are taught perspective, but we are also taught that, hey, learn and learn and learn and learn, and then maybe you'll be able to write a book on that question and still work on it. Like, what does that mean? A creator that has no creator? And a creator that creates a world. Both of them we don't understand. And that lends itself directly, okay, so then why did he give us mitzvot? So again, perspective, we're taught. Maimonides writes in his Yemenite epistle, we were given the Torah as a guidebook as to the best way of living life on planet Earth. Forget the afterlife, this world. You read other books, you discuss the advantage of an afterlife and what you gain when you do that. We discussed numerous times the idea of the ripple effect. You do something good here, it affects the world. We discussed the idea that there, you look at the world and you see the lack of morality. You see the cruelty that goes on in the world. You see the levels of cruelty people can reach to children. You read about what's going on in the world and you say, okay, I sort of understand that the Torah is giving me a guide of how to be an ethical person. Sometimes we could kid ourselves. You say, there are all kinds of religions out there. Then you start reading about what Christians did in the Crusades, what Christians did in the Inquisition. You start seeing what Muslims did, have been doing. You say, okay, like the Rambam writes, when you don't understand the essence of each religion, they all look the same. They're all telling you do and don't do. Okay, so then Judaism also says do and don't do. That's when you don't understand the heart of it. Go understand what's going on behind it. And that's what I've said, that the older I get, the simpler it is to me, the more obvious it is to me, the truth of the Torah. Even when I started teaching here, I used to say, when I read that line in Maimonides, I used to say, I don't know Islam, and I don't know Christianity, but I'll take the Rambam's word for it. Because today, I don't know a lot about Islam or Christianity, but I'm looking at the products, I'm sort of looking around at the world, and the older I get, the more I have that appreciation that, wow, wow. So you read the Torah and you start getting a picture, I was given a gift, I was given a way of life, I was given a moral system for the world, we were given the task to be the moral compass of the world. Now you'll ask again, but wait, you know, you didn't answer the core of the question, and you're right, that's what I said at the onset. We can discuss perspective, we can discuss systems we work with, we can discuss benefits, we can discuss outcomes, we can discuss what the Torah is telling us, but we will also acknowledge the truth that we have not answered the root of that question, like the Rambam writes. I agree. I began with saying, I think by definition, there are points where we're not going to get to. Now, you also have to ask yourself, why is that so important? So that brings us to your second question. But you have to ask yourself, why do I need to know why God created the world? I need to know what my job is here. So you'll say, wait, but I want to understand. Right, but I don't understand them. We said our first definition of God is that which does not fit into my world. He does not fit into my box, my system of logic. He doesn't. That's by definition. When I don't know anything else, the only thing I do know is that there's something here that does not fit into the way I see the world. That's my first definition of God. So now you'll say, but I don't understand them. And I'll say, right, that's what we just said. By definition, you don't understand them. Right. So I want to understand what he does. Okay, so I can understand perspective. That doesn't mean I understand him. I can have a perspective. I can have an attitude to work with that he's taught me and that he's proven to me. So that's in terms of your first question. I believe I have not answered your question, but I believe I've given you what to work with. I don't know how to do more than that. So that's in terms of when you ask why creation, why mitzvot,
I meant why creation in terms of how does anything we do be of benefit to someone who has no need to benefit by anything we do?
I didn't say it benefits him. I didn't say that. None of the answers said it benefits him. I said it benefits us, it benefits the world, it benefits our world in this world, our world to come, it brings a wholeness to the world. I didn't say it benefits him. That's a Kabbalistic concept that Hashem gave us the potential to affect things in the heavens. So I don't know Kabbalistic concepts. It makes people feel good to discuss what they don't understand. I can't explain what I don't understand. So yes, there is this concept that Hashem gave man the potential to affect things on higher spheres. Man can affect things in heaven, and Hashem gave man that level of godliness. I don't know what any of that means. But I can say that the idea of the ripple effect is something which we can understand in this world. The idea that my being a good, kind person here affects the world. It doesn't only affect here. And the impact today, we see a more direct effect in the world. I'm talking here, they're recording there. Who knows how many people are going to see this class? But the Chafetz Chaim spoke to us about an idea that when you're careful here not to speak slander about someone else, then a Jew on the other end of the world is going to have a better life. We do affect, we're all connected from a spiritual perspective. Again, that's something which I can't prove. The concept exists. We're all connected, and when we are better people, we affect everyone being better people. Our sages said it in Talmud also. One should always view the world as being on the brink. And by you doing what's right, you're tilting the scale in the right direction. And in many ways, we can see that. I'll just end with a simple story. There was once a doctor who was treating a woman for cancer. Now, our story goes back over a century ago. And the poor woman could not afford the treatment. And the doctor came, and in those days, they used to treat with bleach. They used to actually put bleach on the cancer and burn it away. Now, the doctor was a Jewish doctor, and he was very kind and very good to this woman. There was one thing, one sensitivity, which unfortunately he did not have. When he was treating the woman, he did not ask her son to leave the room. The son was there watching as his mother suffered with the treatment of the doctor. Now, the son came to power, and he developed an agenda against the Jews. He always kept that doctor alive and gave him preferential treatment. His name was Adolf Hitler. And historians today speak about the idea that Hitler always spoke about taking cancer out of the breast of Germany, which is, they say, is not coincidental with what he witnessed, the Jewish doctor dealing with his mother's cancer in her breast. It's known that Hitler had a very special relationship with his mother. All kinds of theories about that too. There is a question. So you look at it and you say, can you fault the person? No, the guy came and gave her free treatment. I'm saying when they were very poor, he gave her free treatment. On the other hand, maybe the world would have looked different if he would have kicked the kid out of the room and said, you shouldn't watch your mother suffering. There's a certain sensitivity he should have had. We don't come and say, you know, you caused World War II because you didn't have that sensitivity. We don't say that. But we do say, look, our actions, we don't always think about it. What was the name of the guy who put Pollard behind bars? Casper Weinberger. So Casper Weinberger, three generations ago, came from a Frum family. There was a huge dispute in Shul, and the rest is history. I think his mother's Catholic, whatever. But you ask yourself, looking back, did these people realize how they're affecting history long term? We have responsibility, and our actions, we believe, impact much more than our small sphere of vision. There's a greater impact. There's a ripple effect, and the ripple effect is beyond what we see. But again, this is something which we can see in a small scale. I don't believe it's a logical proof. It's an attitude, it's a perspective. I don't think you can prove it this way or that way. It's over.